I am very pleased to be joining all of you virtually. And since we last met together in person physically, the whole world has changed and in its upside down. I don't think that is an exaggerated observation. It's no longer just a China problem as it once was, or at least purportedly where this disease or this virus began to spread. But now the what they call the epicenter is Europe, of all places, unbelievably. And even countries like Italy, Germany. And I just heard that just today, England, UK is on track to be the next Italy, based on the trajectory and the graphs and the projection. They're just 2 weeks behind. And although the numbers, statistics in the USA relative to some of these countries is better, but this country, just like these other ones, are really in a fight for their life, for its life. To call it a war, the biggest war since World War II, is also not reasonable in that the country now has to, under the lead of the executive branch, and that is the president of the White House, this administration, is mobilizing all the resources that it get its hands on, both from the public and the private sector, to battle this war. Of course, containment is, we are beyond the containment phase, and now we are fully in the mitigation phase to try to slow down the spread of this virus and hopefully eventually quench the spread. But according to experts, of course, everyone has their opinion. the call and the requirement for right now almost over half of the U.S. population in this lockdown mode, or in this kind of a self-quarantine or isolation mode, staying at home, could last for weeks, if not months. So there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknown. And to quote an off-use phrase, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, brothers, concerning various sentiments that I have, the burdens that I have as a result of these days and these times, which I really cannot get into because of the time limitation tonight, I urge you to find the link, or the brothers can give you the link, to view three talks I gave over the last 2 days, today and yesterday. That is in lieu of an annual conference in Virginia Beach, Virginia, because of the current situation. The brothers decided we will do this by Zoom, actually, and by YouTube, live streaming it in a simulcast form to the saints there and churches there in the Mid-Atlantic area. Well, you know, as long as you go online, it goes everywhere. So as of yesterday, two sessions, they have at least 1,800 who has gone online. And this morning, there was a technical glitch, and so the saints could not view it real time. But at noon, our time today, the third message or talk was released. And I'm just getting reports that this has gone just viral, if you will, gone all over the place in different languages even. Saints in, from Israel to Sweden to Europe to South America, Central America, U.S., Canada, and who knows where. Well, I do not credit my speaking to that, that kind of a spread of this, of these talks, but really there is a cry, a need in these times in the saints very much for some kind of a word to them, as a kind of a assurance, as a kind of a encouragement, comfort, and even as a kind of a direction on how they should conduct themselves, how they should behave themselves as people in the Lord's recovery. So I would not get into those things now that you have, we all have more times on our hands. I urge you to take a listen to those three talks that I gave. But tonight, I must tell you, I have a very particular burden for you and also for all the brothers that are your contemporaries and your peers. I'm talking especially about the millennial age brothers. And by the way, let me pause a moment here. I hope and trust that this fellowship is being recorded. I would like to have this recorded for the use by other brothers elsewhere.
It is now being recorded.
Thank you. Thank you. And tonight, my one single burden is prayer. Is prayer. A very common theme, a very common subject, even in a way, a very common practice. But I'd like to speak this word to you in light of the present circumstance, in light of the present situation. I feel, brothers, in these days when we're all involuntarily limited, restricted, confined in our homes, we couldn't even contact so many people. We couldn't really go outside so readily. What should we be doing? I told the saints this weekend that there's no such thing as closing down the church. We are not shuttering the kingdom business. We're not rolling over. In fact, the church life is going on. There should be no stopping. I gave you all in writing 2 weeks ago, quoting Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24-25, that is, do not abandon the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is, but so much the more, seeing the day approaching, we would continue, right? That is a word spoken by the apostle to the wavering, weakened, and disturbed Jewish believers. And in that situation, they were being kind of becoming passive. They're becoming losing the direction. They were became feeble. They became out of joint. And so it would be easy for them to fall back to the Jewish traditions of their countrymen, of their Jewish brethren. So the writer was encouraging them to come forward, to strengthen themselves, to be people of faith, to be river crossers, just like their forefather Abraham, and to not drop out of God's New Testament economy, to be faithful. So, brothers, we are not in this exact same situation as these Jewish believers, but in a certain way, the outward environment and all the things that are taking place could also distract us, could pull us this way and that, could draw us into many things that are not in line with God, that are not aligned with God's purpose, that is not lined up with God's kingdom. And we in the Lord's recovery are here, we're called, we're saved, we're in the church life in the Lord's recovery to be overcomers. We're not going to just undergo this present situation until it gets better. We're not going to just roll over and play dead. We are not going to just compromise drop or stop our church life. Actually, in light of the present situation, it's time for us to do even more, much more. It is the time, in these times, the times of persecution, the times of turmoil, the times of attack, the times of adversity, this is the time, brothers, for the church actually to rise up, for the church of God to do its duty, for the church to fulfill its function, for the church today to play its role on the earth among people, among the nations. But what we must ask tonight is church's function. What is the church's role? Or I should say this, what is the church's commission? Now there would be many. We're charged by the Lord with many, many different things. But I'm talking about primarily. Of course, the church need to be built up, the church need to grow, the church need to be strong, the church has to be the Lord's testimony. This is what the church is, the testimony of God on the earth, the expression of Christ on the earth, the enlargement of the triune God as his expression. But I am tonight talking about what is the commission. Well, I would like to mention there are mainly two things. That is the church's obligation to God. Number one, it is to pray. And number two, it is to preach. That means to pray to God and then to preach to men the gospel of Jesus Christ. But tonight, even though the brothers, they will say something about the second commission, the so-called Great Commission in Matthew 28, to go to the nations and disciple them, baptizing people and teaching them and gaining them for God's kingdom. I just have the burden, I cannot help but just to focus actually to me on the very first commission of the church. The eminent responsibility of the church of God on the earth, brothers, you and I must realize, is to pray. You may think, my, there's so many things the church should do. Prayer is the number one. I would tonight like to tell you in a fresh way, I myself am very freshly impressed that prayer is the primary function of the church. You say, really? Just praying? I thought prayer is just my Christian practice. Prayer is something that we do when we have needs. Prayer is something that we do when we are about to carry out some work for the Lord. Really? Well, brothers, I would like to suggest these days, if you have time during the day, don't watch so much Netflix, movies, TVs or whatever it is, how about pick up this book, The Prayer Ministry of the Church? Even if you have read it before, read it again. And you will be impressed by this matter. The top ministry of the church is in fact her prayer ministry. Now, I don't need to cite so many verses and just talk about prayer again, because we know these things. Just about 8 years ago or nine, we actually, I think so, somewhere around then, we actually had one of our seven feasts devoted to the subject called the prayer of the age. I think many of us might have even forgotten that. We impressed, tried to impress the brothers. Was it in an iterative time or is it in some conference? I don't recall. But the prayer of the age, how essential prayer is to God and the carrying out of God's administration and the carrying out of God's purpose. That without this prayer, God could hardly do anything. How that God has committed in the principle of incarnation this key to his move to his church, his people on the earth, that without us praying, that God actually ceases to move. He cannot move. So much so that he would even say in the Old Testament that he has set watchmen on the wall, that they will not give Jehovah any rest, and they will not take any rest themselves until he makes, that is, Jehovah will make Jerusalem a praise on the earth. What is Jerusalem today? Jerusalem today is the church, his body, his house, his city, his kingdom, the one new man, the bride that Christ will come back to. And all this will consummate in the new Jerusalem one day. That is the work of God, to work out and build up this thing called the new Jerusalem. And it is ongoing. Ongoing. The whole Bible describes this from the Old Testament to the New. God has a singular purpose to gain such a holy city that consists of the Old Testament people and the New Testament people, all his believers, all his members who are one with him in every way, who are mingled with him, who are incorporated with him. We know these things. But today, as God, the God of purpose, is still working, and he has never stopped working. Even right now, he's still working. Christ as the intercessor in the heavens. Christ as the minister in the heavenly tabernacle. Christ as the administrator of all of the universe, including the earthly affairs, including this virus situation, including all the nations that are going through these things. Christ is behind the scene in the heavens, doing all this, caring of all this. Yet how much Christ can do depends on the church. Brothers, can you believe this? I'm not sure all of us really are impacted, are really deeply touched and convicted that all of us have really seen such a vision. The church as a whole failed God in the New Testament, just like the Jews failed God. And that's why God turned to the church. Men in general failed God, so God had to have a called race with Abraham as the head. And that race failed, and so God had to come to another chosen race, and that is the church from among the Gentiles and the Jews as well. But that church also failed. So God today needs, in these last 2,000 years since Paul's days, when the church began to decline and degrade, to have overcomers in every age. Overcomers is parallel to the church. As long as since the start of the church, the beginning of the church age, there's need for overcomers, not only in these last days, but from the beginning. And all these 2,000 years, it's really the overcomers that have kept the Lord's testimony alive. They have kept the church in its function. Majority of the church failed, become desolate. But these overcomers will stand in the breach, as Moses did, to pray on behalf of the church, to fulfill the lost function of the church, to fulfill the miscommission of the church. And the Lord's recovery, my brothers, is in the spirit of the overcomers. Not that we're all overcomers. That depends. But I'm saying the recovery spirit, the recovery's burden, the recovery's reason for existence is to overcome, to bear the testimony of Jesus, which the church should bear but did not. In bearing this burden as overcomers, their primary function, I say again, is to pray. So the charges in the Word of God to the church is our charge, the charge to the overcomers. And I say again, the first charge is nothing short of prayer. So prayer is in almost every page of this Bible. Prayer is in the Old Testament. From the time when Enosh, or even before when Enosh, especially Enosh, calling on the name of the Lord, men prayed. And all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation, it's much, much prayer there. The prayer of the martyrs of these 20 centuries, from underneath the altar, underneath the earth, they were praying for a vengeance of their blood. This is the fifth seal. And that prayer, because of that prayer, even though they were not immediately avenged because there were more martyrs to join them to fulfill their number, but that opened the sixth seal. The sixth seal. And that seal is the beginning of God's judgment, leading to the seven seals, the seventh seal, the seven trumpets, and so on and so forth. All this is the execution of God's mysterious economy. These are not fairy tale, my brothers. These are all documented in the Word of God as visions that John saw. We have to believe that. Brothers, today is the time, I feel, for the Lord's recovery, for the churches in the Lord's recovery, in the spirit of the overcomers, to rise up to pray like never before. We must confess, brothers, in this country, except for the first years in the Eldon days, the LA days, Brother Lee fondly remembered those highest years, the years of revival, characterized by prayer. He said in his whole ministry, his church life, he has never been in a church, in a place that have where the spirit of prayer is so strong. I was blessed to be in part of that period of time, and I surely can testify I have not seen prayer like this ever since, in this country at least. But my brothers, these are unusual days. These are extraordinary times. God has, in his sovereignty, allowed this virus to break out. You know, I have much more to say concerning this matter of the plagues. But I would just say one thing, you know, here, let's make a reference in this matter of prayer. And that is the case in Numbers 16. where after the earth opened up and swallowed up the household of Korah, after the 250 men were consumed by fire because of their rebellion against Moses and by extension against God. These people, these Israelites, were still complaining, still speaking against Moses. And God got angry. God was mad. And so while they were doing that, the plague broke out in the camp of Israel. So immediately Aaron, the priest, was charged to take his censer, to put incense and with the holy fire, bring it to the camp, and standing between the living and the dead, he made expiation for Israel. And at that time, the plague stopped. Now, of course, all this are the Old Testament in type. The expiation was something that belongs to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have the propitiation that is accomplished by Christ on the cross by the shedding of his blood to appease God, to reconcile us to God, to cause us God's wrath to be removed from us that we may be saved. But here you have a situation of plague, and because of rebellion, and I must say this, brothers, by the way, that today all these terrible things that happen are allowed by God, just as they will, much more will be allowed by God as we draw close to the end of this age. And you just have to read the time of the Great Tribulation. It will make this virus look like nothing, brothers. That this earth at that time will not be fit for living by men. And in the Word of God, whenever plague or pestilence and these things are mentioned, they're always related to God's judgment, whether it is on the Gentiles in the world, in the case of Egypt, whether it's in the case of God's people, in the story I just told you in Numbers, and or in the world at large in the future, in the days of God's judgment, when he was terminating this earth, the kingdoms of this earth, to bring in his son's kingdom, that this earth has to be cleansed, purified, judged for that to happen. And so he pour out bowl upon bowl, woe after woe, of judgment on mankind. And I think somewhere, and I have to look at the footnotes, Brother Lee said, in cases when it says the third part of the earth, this and that calamity happened, Brother Lee said, most likely those parts are the most sinful and evil parts of the earth. So they bore the brunt. Brothers, it is not too much to say that today the whole earth is in rebellion against God, joined with Satan, instigated by the evil spirits. The sons of disobedience, like never before. There's never been 7 billion people on the earth. You just imagine how much rebelliousness is here. The lust of the flesh, the immorality, the sinfulness, the evil, the unbelief, and all the things that are just covering the whole earth today. You think God is not wrathful? You think God is not angered by all of this? So this is a form of judgment, but it is also a form of warning to the people of this earth. And it is a warning also to the church, to us believers, who should live in a different way, expecting the Lord's coming. And for God to carry out his work, he still needs these overcomers today. And so today, through this kind of a upheaval, all this kind of turmoil, all this kind of crisis, God is trying to wake people up, even to wake us up in the Lord's recovery, not to be asleep, not to still love the world, not to just do our own thing and give some time by the way to the church and go to a few meetings, but to live to him, but to live for his kingdom, but to co-labor with God to work out his purpose. So this case with Aaron is surely with the censer, with the incense, he was praying there for the people to appease God's wrath. If he has not done that, there would be a lot more deaths. In our prayer, brothers, we also need to remember this, to pray for the people of the world, to pray for this nation, that they would, more would receive this warning, more would repent and turn to God. More would abandon the world, more would be saved from their sins, and all would come under the subjection of Christ on the heavenly throne, and not live in rebellion to God. Brothers, for this to happen, the first thing we need is to pray. Now, time is short, but I need to finish my burden here. Brothers, I hope that these days of staying in our houses, days of less to do, days of restriction and limitation. You know, restriction and limitation is good for us. Without this, we're all free, do whatever we want, occupy ourselves with all kinds of things, with no time for God, no time for the Lord's need, no time for the kingdom's business, no time even to pray or to reflect or to stop. We're just busy and busy running around doing so many things. Let's take advantage of these days in our home to build up our prayer life. And together, we will recover the function of the church, the primary function of the church. That is to cooperate with the Lord, with Christ's heavenly ministry of intercession. He has been praying for 2,000 years and always looking for some that will echo his prayer on the throne, on the earth, to correspond with his prayer. He needs that today. So brothers, as his body today, let us do that. I like to charge you, brothers, in a most serious way. I like to challenge you very much, very, very seriously, that these days, do not let this opportunity slip by. Do not fail to heed God's warning, God's loving warning to us now. Let us not waste time. Let us not be idle. Let us not just spend these days staying home. Let us use these days seriously, deliberately, individually and together, to build up this prayer function. This, I would even say, this prayer ministry. As for us, the apostle says, we will give ourselves to prayer and then to the ministry of the word. But firstly, to prayer. Firstly, to prayer. And that reminds us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I would that first of all, Paul talking about the church life here, first of all, that prayers and supplications, intercessions with thanksgiving be made on behalf of those in power. And then that means the earthly rulers, the governments, the heads of governments, and those in authority in the nations. And then to pray for all men that they would be saved according to his heart's desire to come to know the full knowledge of the truth. And then in the same chapter, a few verses later, he said, I would that all men would not murmur, would not talk, would not debate, but they would what? They would raise up the holy hands to pray. And sisters similarly. There, of course, we're very much burdened that the sisters would pray in these days. But the first thing Paul mentioned is men. I would that men would raise up their holy hands, their sanctified hands, to pray, to pray. So this is our first job, our top job, brothers. It is not an option. There's nothing more serious than this. You know, I always talk about Watchman Nee's life, where he spent the first 30 years in public ministry and the last 20 years in hidden prayer ministry. Today, we all enjoy his public ministry of the word. How many know the value, the power, the impact, the results of his prayer in the prison for the last 20 years of his life? That, I always maintain, is a ministry at least as important as the ministry, his ministry of the word, perhaps even more important. We may not be here without his prayer. Brothers, we think that by our doing many things, this and that, and I'm not saying we should not do things, we will help to accomplish God's purpose. When actually those things, as needful as they are, as legitimate as they are, is not the first thing. The first thing that we would be co-laborers with God in is in our prayer. So our prayer is always difficult, always challenged, always compromised. We can be strong in many things, but weak in prayer. We can be busy with many things, but we can be very, very idle in prayer. And brothers, all this have to change, and I think now is the time. So this is the time. I like to speak this actually to all the brothers in all the churches, not just Northern California at all. The whole recovery needs this, not because I'm speaking, but I earnestly believe this is the burden of the Spirit right now, today. A specific word as far as our service is concerned, as far as our ministry is concerned, as far as our church life is concerned. So brothers, what should we do? What do I propose that we do? Well, let me say a couple of things concerning our wrong concept and hence our wrong attitude towards prayer. Number one is we pray when we have a need. Now that is not wrong. We're supposed to even make known our needs to God in times of anxiety and so on. So there's nothing wrong. But the concept is when we have some particular need, when we're in a situation of necessity, then we come to the Lord to pray. That when we apparently or relatively are okay, well, and not needy, as if we don't need to pray. I submit that, brothers, this is wrong. This is wrong. No, we don't pray only when there's need. We need to pray all the time. Because Christ is interceding all the time, nonstop. And he must have a constant echo, nonstop like him, to pray on the earth so that he can do what he will do. Recall in Revelation 8, that angel. That is before the opening of the seventh seal, I believe. That he has the bowl, that is the prayer of the saints, and to which he added incense, which is Christ, the virtuous Christ. And then it ascended to the heavens, and then causing heaven to pour forth thunders and lightnings and all manners of things on the earth. And that is God's administrative judgment on the earth as a result of saints on the earth. It's called the prayers of the saints, those bowls to which Christ is added so that these prayers can be received and accepted by God. Our prayers cannot be void of Christ. They must be Christ-full in order for God to receive and for God to answer. And I tell you, it is the martyr's prayer in the fifth seal that brings forth the release of these calamities as God's judgment, even in the first few trumpets of the seven trumpets. And it is the prayer of the saints that bring forth the blowing of the seven trumpet. That brings in the time of the great tribulation. Again, all part of God's administration, universal administration, to carry out his purpose. Brothers, we need to do the same. I feel, brothers, these days, I've been with you in the Bay Area, Northern California, laboring there. I feel this is a particular moment in time, even of my function there amongst you, to ask you, to call you all, brothers, especially, at least these 200-300 brothers, at least 200-300, if not more, sisters, I don't know how many, to be the nucleus, to be the core, to be those overcomers who would rise up to really pray earnestly in a daily way. The word is continue steadfastly in prayer. The word is pray without ceasing. The picture in Acts 2, the first church, and they continue steadfastly in prayer. Brothers, it's not when we have a need that we pray. We need to pray all the time because Christ has a need all the time. And another wrong concept is we pray so that something can be carried out. So let's say we're going to preach the gospel. So now we need to pray. I need to give a message, so I go and pray. Or whatever, we need to fulfill some service or some burden, so we pray. Is that wrong? Absolutely not. We ought to pray. when before we serve. We ought to pray. We must pray before we preach the gospel. But brothers, prayer is not limited just to that. Even when we have no work to do, like nowadays, like Watchman Nee in the prison, no work to do. Does he need to pray? He spent his time in intercession, in the prison. I believe Paul, when he was in prison, he wrote letters and epistles. But I believe, as he himself wrote, a lot of these prison epistles, he remembered the saints. He prayed for the saints. Brothers, we need to do this. How sad it is today, a lot of our prayer is just go around once, the group of brothers in the elders' meeting, in some coordination, in some meeting. We go around once and we stop. We ran out of prayer. And we wait for the sermon. We wait for the message. We wait for something, the coordination to start. That is the next thing on the program. But brothers, every meeting should almost be a prayer meeting nowadays. Can we pray too much? Is there anything wrong that the Spirit would lead us on one Lord's Day? That we would all pray in the prophesying meeting? I don't mean to do that in a religious way. I'm not saying that. But is there anything wrong? The church is a praying church. The house of God, of the Father God, is called the house of prayer. Christianity has turned this house into a place of traffic, of merchandising, of commerce, of all kinds of things. Well, we may not do that, but brothers, if we're honest and look at ourselves and examine ourselves, evaluate, brothers, how about our church life? Is it any surprise that our church life is not prevailing, not impactful, not full of power and vitality? Is there any surprise that not more are saved? Is there any surprise that our growth in life is not so strong? Brothers, the need, the shortage, the lack, I attribute it to prayer. To prayer. Oh, my brothers, I just don't know how to really fully release my burden, but I really have a very, very special burden tonight, not just to talk about prayer in a general way, but a prayer of the age, a prayer at this moment in time, where the world is, where the earth is, where God's move is. This is a critical, pivotal time. The economic system may well collapse. The society as we know it will be changed. Many, many things will be upended. Of course, we will pass through this. I pray for this. I trust that. Even in America, we will pass through this in a good way. But brothers, no matter, this is God speaking from the heavenlies. This is God's warning to mankind. This is God's calling to his church, especially to his overcomers, to rise up in these days to do their job so that God can continue to move in a timely way according to his timing, his timetable. Brothers, shall we not do this? Also, our prayer, I feel, in these days need to come up to another level, not the kind of ordinary, so-so, impassionate, indifferent, lukewarm, weak prayer. Brothers, we need to build up our praying spirit so that it can pray in an instant it would have the endurance to pray for a longer time. Not just 5 minutes and it's over. We don't have any more strength. But by exercise, we will be equipped with the stamina, brothers, the stamina to pray for a longer time. It requires that. The martyrs have been praying in Hades, in the paradise, for 2,000 years, and they're still praying, not giving up. Brothers, our prayer spirit is just too weak. Our talking spirit, or quote-unquote fellowship spirit, is quite strong, quite steady. But the praying spirit, relative speaking, is too weak. Brothers, we need to flip that and reverse that. And there's a way. The way is to do it, to practice it. Every day, pray for so many minutes. Every day, pray. And every time, pray. You know, in Timothy 2, I would that men would pray, lift up their hands in every place. Whereas in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about taking the sword of the Spirit by means of all prayer, praying at every time. So there you have it. Every place, every time is for us to pray. Every place we pray and every time we pray. We are just a praying people. We love to pray and we live to pray. Another concept is this, that we pray, just like I said just now, in order to do so many works of God. And we should do that. We pray so that the word may be released. We pray so that we can shepherd people. We pray so that we can minister Christ to others, that we can supply the church. That's true. But I'd like to flip that even tonight. And that is, I would say, all the provisions, divine provisions from God, all the bountiful supply of the Spirit, all the riches that we have received from this ministry, all the food that we have eaten, whether it's milk or solid food from the Word of God, they are all to strengthen us, listen, to pray. I want to make prayer the target, prayer the purpose, prayer the goal. Why do we read the word, eat the word? So we know how to pray. So we can pray in a rich way, and we can pray according to God's will and not our own. Why do we need to know the anointing? So that we can pray according to it. And that is the Spirit's move. And why do we need to be enriched by the ministry? So that we would know how to pray in a more inclusive way. And not just pray just for one thing, but we'll pray for so many things that has to do with the kingdom of God. All this, I want to flip it, is for so that we, the prayer ministry can be strong in the church. The prayer ministry can be rich in the church. It's not that we pray so that all these things can happen. That is the fact. But how about seeing it this way? All these things is to feed and strengthen our praying organ, our inner man, our interceding spirit, so that it is supplied, it is enriched, it is strong, it is full, it is filled with God's promises, it is full of faith, so that we can pray the strongest prayer there is, that we can match Christ in every way. He's praying strongly. You bet Christ is praying strongly, but the church does not match him. The husband is taking the lead. The wife is too weak to follow, to match. And he needs that strong match on the earth so that God can move without frustration and hindrance. And I need not mention how important this prayer is in defeating Satan. Satan is even using this present allowed crisis to wreak havoc, to destroy men, to destroy their physical life, to destroy their psychological life, to destroy men on the earth. Satan is busy right now, roaming like a lion, seeking to devour who he can. You know, Peter was speaking then that to these Jewish believers under discipline, being persecuted in suffering. God said, be careful, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to God's sovereign discipline. But be watchful, because there's another one there lurking to try to devour you in your moment of weakness. Brothers, today, many saints did our prayer, praying at every time for the saints. For the saints need our prayer. We cannot pray too much. We think we just mention a few names and that's done. No, we need to pray more strongly, more thoroughly, more carefully. We need to pray more enduringly, until we see answer, until we see results. So let's come to these days. How do we practice this? I like to suggest in these times, brothers, in our homes, we better order our day, because when we don't order our day, time flies. We need to seize the opportunity. And one of the best way is to schedule our days. Schedule our days and don't do so many other things. We need to be off with our family. This is a good time to do that, to foster that bond, talking about building up a godly family. Nowadays are the times to do that. Brothers, how about schedule your day starting this next week? Just schedule the day. Your time with the Lord, personal time with the Lord. Your time of prayer with the Lord. We don't need to hurry now in our so-called morning revival. We can spend actually more time with the Lord in His Word to feed on Him and to deal with Him. Then how about also to pray personally? You may find that your muscle is not strong enough. You cannot pray that long. But I'll tell you, it's just like any kind of exercise. You start with 2 minutes today. Tomorrow will be 3. The next day will be 4. The next day will be 10. And soon you cannot stop praying. You're praying longer and longer and stronger and stronger. Brothers, this is how it goes. And even if you are strong in prayer, if you cease praying, stop praying, Your muscles will atrophy. Your muscle will become weakened. Oh. It will lose its mass. Mm. That's how it happens too. So brothers, we need to keep up this daily exercise. I would like to say, brothers, daily. Not every other day, daily. Don't say, I cannot do it. I'm too weak. Don't say this. And this takes me to the next point. Brothers, you say, where do I start? How do I start? You and I don't need to read more messages on prayer. We know it. You know what we need to do? We need just to start.
Amen.
Some brothers need to please mute your phone, huh? You just need to start. You just need to pray. So you can only pray for 5 minutes. Start with the 5 minutes. Just pray. All right. don't reason, don't get into your mind. You just start to pray. I think the church right now just need to start to pray. And the Lord will lead us as we get stronger to pray more and more and more. We have to build this up. LA did not become a church of prayer overnight. No, it didn't. It built over time. And it became a strong praying church. I like to see all the churches in the Bay Area being strong praying churches in these days, along with the rest of the Lord's recovery. So now what do we do, brothers? I like to suggest, first of all, your own prayer, and then the twos and threes. Find a brother among the 200, or outside of the 200. Maybe find two brothers at different time. Again, you don't need an hour. You may start with 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Some of you can do it every day. Some of you do it every other day. It depends on our situation. But just get on the phone in twos and threes. What a promise, what a word the Lord gave to us in Matthew 18. When two or three are gathered together for prayer, for a time in his presence, there am I in their midst. And it says, when two on the earth are in harmony concerning anything, it will be done for them. Whatever they bound on the earth will be what has been bound in the heavens. Whatever they loose on the earth will be what has been loose in heaven. What authority the Lord has endowed, the Lord has given to two members of his body. Two members of his body, that's all. And they pray. And brothers, so much we need to pray for. So I would say, besides the personal prayer, the number two things is the two and threes. If there's an 80% of the church life in the homes, I would say 80% of our prayer is in the twos and threes. Then, of course, the church's prayer. The church still has the prayer meeting. The church has a prayer meeting once a week. And these days, actually, we have so much time at home. The church, in the form of groups, for sure in the forms of two and three, should be praying all the time. All the time. Brothers, then this way, we may be confined in our homes, but the church life, the church ministry, is becoming stronger. We will become more vital. We will become more connected, knit together by this prayer. We will build up ourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Brothers, a lot of things will happen as a result in your church, in your family, in your locality, in this nation, and on this earth. Who knows how much? I sincerely believe this is the Lord's calling for us today. Not just for us to reconsecrate ourselves, to love him more. Of course, we need that. But in terms of our ministry, our function, our service, brothers, let us be Epaphroditus, Epaphras, all these ones with Paul, who just always are fighting, praying on behalf of the saints. Brothers, shall we not do that? I really, really am burdened. Otherwise, I want to ask you, how are we responding to the Lord in these times? What are we doing? What are we supposed to do? Just to wait it out, brothers, just to kind of stay put until we're free to go to the meeting hall again? No, brothers. God has even given us this technology, or allowed this technology for us to what? Practice, for us to build up this highest ministry of the church. I believe many things will happen as a result. The gospel, shepherding, burdens of all kinds, the growth in life will come from prayer. The salvation of souls will come from prayer. The care of the saints will come from prayer. The eldership will be functional. The deaconship will be functional. This, I would like to see, of course, even the sisters, of course, doing that. In these days, actually, all the saints, even the young people, the college age, they may be a little weaker. They may not be know so much, but they can pray and they should pray. But let us, you and I, brothers, take the lead in this. Take the lead in this and start. I think, brothers, perhaps this is good enough for tonight. Now, one last thing on the matter of our practice. There's some burden among us that maybe even this is just a burden right now, how it will carry it out. I hope you brothers won't talk about it. But several weeks ago when this virus broke out in China, in Wuhan, it was a very, very dangerous and perilous situation. And so the Chinese saints in Asia started this kind of a round-the-clock prayer chain in the form of the watchman prayer. And I think after some days, there were at least 100,000 saints who are in that prayer chain. And they have some kind of a website where you sign up and pray for 15 minutes at a certain time of the day. So anyone can pick any 15 minutes because there's so many time zones on the earth, so that even if everyone pray during the day, then there'll still be a kind of 24-hour network or chain of prayer. Brother David Chu today reminded us of the 100-year prayer of the Moravians. We don't know it, but the result, the impact of this prayer, only eternity will tell. Only eternity will tell. But we, the recovery today, should do this. And if need be, we can list, like we did before, 7 items of prayer or lines of prayer that we can pray every day, not as something restrictive or something legal, but to help the saints who need some direction. You may say, what are those 7? Let me mention them. Let me try. Number one, I would say, is to pray for God's will to be done. That is the so-called Lord's Prayer. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your name be hallowed or sanctified on earth as it is in heaven. That is for God's will to be channeled to this earth, this wicked earth, this rebellious earth, so that this earth will be the Lord's, that his kingdom can come. First today in reality, then in the day when the Savior returns, it would come in manifestation. We need to earnestly pray for God's purpose to be worked out, God's will to be done, God's economy to be executed. That's number one. Number two, we should pray for those in power, the nations. If you are in this country, pray for your country. Pray for the president. Pray for the authorities. We in America, we pray for the president. We pray for the vice president. We pray for those in lead. We pray for the coronavirus task force. We pray for the people, especially in the medical field, in the hospitals and we pray for the people who are responsible in taking care of the present situation, who is leading the battle to fight this pandemic. We really need to pray, and we have supposedly have an election this year, which all pushed back because of all that is going on. We still need to pray for the political situation, that God would have his way. And by praying for this, the president, we're praying for the world situation. And number three, we should pray for all men on the earth, all men, that they would be saved, that they would heed this warning of God, that all this suffering, all these things will cause men to repent and turn to God. And then number four, and that is, of course, for their salvation, for the gospel, for the white horse to run. That is the first seal, the white horse. And after that, there would be three horses, by the way. The red horse, the war. The black horse, death, or rather famine. And finally, the pale horse, that is death. And actually, that word death means pestilence. That brings in death. And brothers, we need to pray in this way. All those four horses has been running for these last 2,000 years. We need to pray that the white horse in these days would prevail. The gospel would go out, right? And then number four, we can pray for the saints. Oh, how the saints need prayer. We need to pray for all saints, all ages, the elderly saints, the vulnerable saints, the needy saints, the young saints, the millennial saints. We need to pray for especially the dormant saints, the backslidden saints, that they would, the prodigals, that they would return to the house. Through these times, they would repent. They would come home. We need to pray and be vigilant, be watchful for the saints' condition. And then next, we should pray for what? We should pray for our family, our families. You know, these days we're very burdened for our families, the godly families. We need to pray for our husbands, our wives, our children, our loved ones, right? Even our extended families, our immediate nuclear families and extended families, how much there is to pray for, that they would be godly, that they would not be ungodly. They would not be just like the world. This includes our children. And by the way, more times these days at home, we should start the real home meetings. That means family meetings, not just meeting in the home, in a house, but meeting with your family. Spend some time, right, to sing with the children, to speak about something of the Lord, to read something of his word. But pray for them. Pray for our loved ones and families. Right? And the next thing, I would like to say the seventh, pray for the Lord's recovery. Pray for the Lord's recovery. All over the earth, the churches. Pray for the co-workers, that they may have wisdom and strength in these times to take a proper lead, to care for the Lord's recovery all over. Pray for the leading brothers, the elders, that they also may have the wisdom, the strength to care for the respective churches and the saints. Pray for the full-timers everywhere, You know, today we have many U.S. citizens that are sent over to Europe in that epic center of this pandemic. And State Department a few days ago tell them, unless you're going to stay there indefinitely, come home. I don't know what is going on in Germany, in England, in Spain, in these different places. Those who are there serving full time, those who migrated there, I really don't know what is happening there. But brothers, pray for them. Pray for the serving ones, right? Just pray. So at least there's these very current seven lines that we can pray for as a start. But we should not be limited. This is not to be legal. However, the Spirit may lead you to pray, but let us start doing this. Amen.
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 Brothers, I took your offer and spoke until now, but I think this is good to leave you the time. Amen.
Amen.